Many of you know God has called us to a life of faith. Amen? The Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you're going to be a believer, if you're going to walk this life of that we call Christianity, that you're going to have to commit yourself to living a faith every day. That means sometimes there's going to be some things that are happening in your life that you're not going to see until you see. Amen? You're not going to be able to know it until you're going to have to operate as though it's happened, even though we don't see the evidence of it yet. Guys, that's faith. Amen? And last week, we began to talk a little bit about Moses. And let's read in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 27, what it says about Moses. It says, by faith, say by faith. Now say it like besides everybody other than these five people over here. Everybody say, by faith. Amen? By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden. Well, excuse me, sir, I jumped a verse back. My bad. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Say invisible. We talked last week about how Moses committed career suicide. That Moses was actually, some would even say that there could be an argument made that he was in line to be Pharaoh himself, for they thought that succession passed through the daughters and not the sons. That he was brought into a place of wealth, that he grew up, he had the best education, he had absolutely everything he wanted at his fingertips. How many of you know Moses led a charmed existence while he was in Egypt? Amen? He gave up the riches of Egypt and the pleasures of sin for a season in order to join a ragtag group of Hebrews who were hated by the Egyptians. He found the strength to endure the persecution because he saw him who was invisible. See, that's one of the most incredible statements in Scripture if you really think about it. How do you see an invisible person? The whole point of being invisible is that you can't see you. Right? I mean, how many of you have ever seen a superhero film with the invisible person, right? How many of you know that superpower is not great if they can see you? See, God was invisible, yet Moses saw him. How? You ever just read some scriptures and ask yourself, how? How did that happen? And by faith, say by faith. Moses had faith, and his faith gave him a sight that he didn't naturally have. And he saw God who was invisible. The Egyptians didn't see it, but Moses did. The Egyptians couldn't pick up on it, but Moses could. See, that's what faith can do. Faith can cause you to see something that nobody else can see, that you see beyond the world. And as a matter of fact, sometimes real faith is shocking to people. Because you start saying, this is what I see. And just because somebody else doesn't see it doesn't mean that God hasn't called you to it. How many of you know when people showed up to ask Noah what he was doing on the first day? You guys remember that story, Noah's Ark? We learned that in Sunday school, right? He built an ark, put the animals on, lots of rain. That's the shorthand version. But how many of you know, the first day he started collecting wood, people were like, Noah, what's going on here? I'm going to build an ark. Cool. Why? Well, because God told me to, because something's coming. What? What's coming? This thing called rain. And you understand, Scripture tells us up until that time, the earth had not rained yet. And he starts going, yeah, so about this rain thing, what does that mean? Oh, water's going to fall from the sky. Cool, Noah. You're crazy, right? But at some point, if we're going to walk this life of faith, you're going to have a moment where people are going to kind of go, you're crazy. Why would you do that? Why would you believe God for that? Why would you step into that? And oftentimes it's going to be well-intentioned people. Well-intentioned people. Amen? So what did Moses see? See, the text says he was looking ahead to his reward. Moses knew that there were two worlds that he could choose to live by, and he could choose to live by the values of either one. Maybe you know we have two values, two worlds we can choose to live by. Right? There was the world he could see, the world at the time he called Egypt, the world of the senses, the world of money, the world of power, the world of pleasure, the world of fame and self-gratification, the greatest military power of the earth at the time, the greatest brute force. And as far as the Egyptians knew, that was the only world there was. The gods they worshiped were nothing more than an extension of their own values. How many of you know that if you look back and you look at mythological gods, they are very much oftentimes gods in man's image? They're petty. They're jealous. They're spiteful. They're angry. How many of you know that we were built in God's image? And this was the only world that the Egyptians could see. It was an extension of their own values. But how many of you know there is another world? Come on. It's an invisible world, the world of the Spirit, the realm where God moves and operates, and Jesus is calling the shots, and he's at the right hand of the Father where the angels and the saints are worshiping him. It's a world that is ruled by righteousness that we enter into by grace. Amen? And those who live in this world, who live for this type of world, will have the reward that this type of world offers. Those who live for the Egypt, what do we get? 70, 80, 90 years? Amen? They can amass as much wealth and power and fame as they can get, and their reward from this world will be left in this world. And when they die, all that they have lived for and everything else will die with them. But those who live by the Spirit, come on. But those who live by that realm will have a completely and entirely different experience. Like Moses, they may suffer. We may suffer in the short run. But when we die, the party is just getting started. We enter into the joy of the Lord, enter into the rest of the Lord. Amen? And those who live by this world, by the values of the next one, will have a deeper joy, a greater satisfaction, even while they are being rejected and ridiculed by the world around them. And somehow Moses saw all of this. Somehow something grabbed his heart. He figured out that it wasn't worth it to live for Egypt. That his faith had to be applied to something else. It didn't measure up against the joy of serving the Lord, even if that meant a temporary suffering and putting up with a bunch of let's just be honest, a bunch of wishy-washy Jews in the desert who went from victory to whining in like 0 to 60. I'll tell you what, you want to see a whiny bunch of people, man, read Exodus. All right? How many miracles do you have to do for people before they get the hint? God legitimately parted a sea for them to walk across on. How many of you know that would probably be enough for most of us to go, yep, he's real. Right? But you know, the truth is it wouldn't, because we're human. You know, we like to look down our noses, but how often has God done miraculous things in our life just for a little while later for us to be bellyaching, God, where are you? I'm being serious. I'm being serious. But God, where are you? And God's like, man, I fed you every day. Manna from heaven. Right? I led you as a pillar of fire by night. I made the Red Sea part, and you walked across on, the word tells us, dry land. That means he removed every drop and every iota of moisture, even out of the dirt, so they could part, cross on it. yet Moses somehow said, this is worth it. See, for him, for Moses, there was only one choice. He would go with the people of God and he would take what they had and he would suffer with them. And if the people of Egypt didn't like it or if they didn't understand it, then so be it. He might have been Pharaoh had he stayed. But that didn't even bother him when he left. Amen? Because the truth of the matter is if he had stayed in Egypt, we'd have never heard of him. We'd have never known who he was. Remember I said last week, how many of you can name all the Egyptian pharaohs? Instantly, everybody was like, King Tut, right off the bat. Ramsay, right? And you only know Ramsay's because most of y'all have seen Nacho Libre. That's the only reason why. Ramsay's is the best. But nobody would have heard of Moses had he determined to live for Egypt and to place his faith in Egypt and not place his faith in something bigger, another world that is just grander and greater and eternal. Amen? See, Moses wasn't built for Egypt. Moses was built for something eternal. And so are you. So the question has to come to each of us. In which world do we want to make our mark? If you want to make it big in Egypt, good luck, have at it. Go ahead. You'll get your reward, and you may or may not be happy when you get it, but I will tell you what, even if you're happy in the short term, you won't be happy in the long term. But if you want to live for the next world, you can, but it's going to cost you something in the meantime. And we're going to have to live a life of faith. Is this okay? So let's look at that statement again. Moses saw him who is invisible. Faith sees what is really there, even though others see nothing at all. Faith believes what is true, even though others don't believe it at all. And by faith, we see reality, which means we see beyond the world around us. But that concept should not seem strange at all because, think about it. The most beloved hymn in the world, Amazing Grace, contains this line, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And so by faith, we have to enter into a life where we see things others don't see. And you say, James, you're kind of talking in circles around this a little bit. But, there comes a time where we have to choose to believe God whether or not the evidence is pointing to it or not. And, that, guys, this is a life of faith. How many of you remember back in the day, there used to be, like, they were all the rage in all the malls when you would walk through, like, those 3D pictures that they just look like a bunch of, like, indiscriminate shapes, but the longer you looked at them. You guys remember these? Have you guys seen any of these kids? Is this way too old for you? Yeah. See, kids, back in the day, we used to go to these things called malls. We didn't order everything off Amazon. And that's where we hung out, and that's what we did. So there was these pictures. You guys remember them. There were these pictures, and if you stared at them long enough, and really, they just looked like a whole bunch of shapes, but if you tilted your head just right, and if you began to squint, right, you remember these? All of a sudden, you'd start to see, like, Shamu or a whale would start. You know, it's almost like it became like 3D. It started lifting up off the print. And you'd be able to see something that you didn't see before. See, the thing is, it was there the whole time. You just had to get in the position to see it. Is this okay? Right? So these 3D pictures, and you start to look at the picture up close, and if you throw your eyes out of focus and you cock your head a bit, and suddenly this image, this unexpected, this hidden image, whether you see it or not, which was there, began to come forward. And I think the truth is the reality of faith is there whether we see it or not. It's there. And by faith, we see it, even though people of the world don't. See, that is the difference. That is one of the true differences of a believer, of somebody who has found Jesus Christ and somebody who's just trying to live in Egypt on their own. We can walk through this life with a different hope because we can see things differently. Do you know that you were built and called by God to see things differently? That's why we can't throw our lot in with the world. We can't throw our vision in with the world. We've got to begin to look at things differently. We've got to begin to see by faith. What does that mean? By faith, we will see our children come to the Lord. By faith, we will see the sick healed. Amen? By faith, we will see this community reached for Jesus. Come on. By faith, we will see children saved. Amen? Everything we do, matter of fact, everything we do in this church, we do by faith. By faith, we're going to see teenagers from tough backgrounds come to know Jesus. Amen? By faith, we will be a regionally resourcing church. By faith, we're going to raise up generations that are going to do things that we never even dreamed of. Amen? Man, I want this church to be known for every person who comes out of it does more. Man, may our children just blow our doors off. Amen? Which, by the way, means we have to do well in obeying God so that they can go further. Is this okay? But how do we do that? By faith. Begin to see things that the world doesn't see. You guys okay this morning? Yeah? See, faith is not a feeling, but it is a conscious choice to believe what God has said. See, too often we reduce faith to an emotion. Like today, I'm feeling faith. I'm feeling like I'm going to do it. Some of you know your feelings will fail you. Right? Your feelings will fail you. Your feelings are tricky. Right? At some point, you have to make a determination. Is what God said true or is it not? And if it's true, then I have to make a conscious decision to, by faith, do what God's called me to do, whether I feel it or not, right? We will never progress in the spiritual life as long as we stay on the plane of our feelings. See, if Noah had waited until he felt like building an ark, he might never have gathered the first piece of wood. If Joshua had waited to feel like marching around Jericho, perhaps Jericho's walls would still be standing. See, feelings are important. Hear me, feelings are important, but they are not the basis of faith. God gave you feelings to interpret the world around you. Come on. But faith defines it. Faith is the platform from which we build. How many of you have ever just woke up and just said, I just don't feel like it today? Right? It's okay. That's why Netflix is doing well. You mean I don't have to leave my house and all the shows will be here? But see, how many of you know there's a point where we have to get over what we feel and move forward into a place called faith? See, I don't always feel like it's possible, but with God, all things are possible. Are you okay this morning? See, in a moment of trial, you have to consciously choose to believe that God is who he said he is and that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. Faith chooses, then acts. The feelings will follow. Can I say that again? Faith chooses, then acts, and then feelings follow. You guys okay this morning? See, faith acts even in the face of doubt and opposition. If we wait until all the circumstances are in our favor, we're probably going to wait forever. David didn't wait for Goliath to go blind. David had to go fight him. If we wait for our doubts to disappear, then we're going to wait a long time. Someone said that faith is belief plus unbelief and acting on the belief part. Amen? Sooner or later, we will have to act on the belief part. What do you believe? See, Abraham had to do it. Moses had to do it. Samuel had to do it. All the heroes of the Bible had to act on the belief part. And the truth is you can too. Hebrews 11 is everybody who acted by faith. Amen? One definition of faith goes like this. Faith means believing in advance what will only make sense in reverse. Believing in advance would only make sense in reverse. Michelle, would you come? I'm going to close in just a moment here. See, so many things in this life make no sense to us. Anybody ever felt that way? Like, this just makes no sense. We want to know why things happen the way they do, and why couldn't the things have happened another way, some other way? And it would be wrong to say that faith provides all the answers, because the truth is it doesn't. As a matter of fact, God will always ask you to operate and act long before he gives you all the information. Amen? We have to come to a position of maturity. See, one of the great differences in maturity as we grow and where we should be going is maturity can be explained this as spiritually. I have walked with God long enough to know that when he speaks, I can trust him. That when he asks me to move, I don't need to know all the information, because I know he has good in his heart toward me. That when he asks me to step out, I don't have to wait for him to prove himself. You want a good definition of spiritual maturity? That's it. Where we've walked with the Lord long enough that we've come full circle back to a childlike faith, that when the Lord speaks, we just do. Amen? You're never going to have all the information. You're never going to have all doubt completely removed. You're never going to have the complete and total perfect scenario. Sometimes you just have to make a conscious decision. Did God ask us to do it, or did he not? And if he asked us to do it, then we're going to do it. Guys, that doesn't mean we don't operate in wisdom. That doesn't mean we don't operate with wise counsel. That doesn't mean we don't get the information we can get. You know, I believe in this place even today that God's going to speak to somebody that says, you know, I want you to start a business. And that doesn't mean you go about and say, okay, we're going to start building widgets tomorrow. But it does mean you trust God that that's the direction he's called you to go. And you begin to take steps to do the best you can to prepare. Amen? But at some point, you're going to have to take a faith step and say, okay, God, today's the day we hang the shingle out. Today's the day we open the doors. And today's the day, by faith, we step out and we begin a business for your glory. By faith, we believe God for ministries, businesses, families. Amen? How many parents in here ever felt 100% ready when your first child came? I was terrified. I was terrified. I can barely raise myself. How am I going to raise another human being? How do we do it? By faith. We trust God. Amen? You guys okay today? See, this whole thing has been to be able to bring it to this one point. God is going to ask you to do something someday that you're just not going to understand completely. And you're going to have to make a conscious decision to say, God, are we going to obey or are we not? I don't have all the facts. I don't have all of it all figured out. But I'm going to step out and I'm going to trust you with the rest of it. Moses had no idea when he was walking out of the certainty of Egypt what he was walking into. I bet if you would have told Moses everything that was going to happen, he probably would have never stepped out to begin with. And I think it's honest if you could say the same thing for your life. If I had known everything I would have had to go through to get to this point in my life, there are probably some things I wouldn't have stepped out and done. I probably maybe would have never left Florida. But looking in reverse, I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad that I walked through those things. I'm so glad that I didn't know some of the struggles we would go through. Because now we're on the other side. Amen? That doesn't mean there's not more challenges to come. But we've grown up enough to know now that as we go through them, God will be faithful and that we will reach another side. See, and if I had known it as a young man, I probably would have never stepped out. There's a reason why God doesn't give you all the information. He gives you just enough information to move. Trust Him. Is this okay today? Come on, let's stand and let's close.